Well, hey, Calvary Chapel, listen, good evening to all of you, and obviously a different day, obviously a different setting for us, but the fact of the matter is we want to come to you tonight from Washington, D.C. Tony Perkins has been kind enough to open up his studios tonight for us to have church together.
And to change my clothes.
And to change his clothes. Those of you who are familiar with Tony, this is Tony without a suit and tie. We are in Washington, D.C. We're just down the street from the Capitol, to be honest with you. But we need to put a biblical perspective to what has gone on in our nation today. So, first of all, let's pray together right now, family of God. Lord, we pray and we ask of you that you would now descend upon, Lord, this sanctuary, these your people, and Father, that there would be a great sense of your Spirit's presence. And God, that today, tonight, thank you that we have the Word of God to lean upon, always the Word of God. And so, Father, we continue to give you our nation that you've given us to steward over. We continue to give to you your church, which you died for and shed your own blood to redeem. And Lord, we give you our attention and our affection because you alone are the king. You're not a politician that's up for re-election or election. And you're not some sort of a movement. And you are not some sort of a party. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And you're the one who all of these leaders will someday answer to, including ourselves. So, Lord, tonight, may we hear what the Spirit has to say to the church, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Well, Tony, I don't even know where we begin tonight. Obviously, the congregation has by now, no doubt, not only seen the results of the election Tuesday night in Georgia, but also today and tonight, the rally and what has transpired. We want to talk about some of the current events because it's on everybody's heart and mind. But more than anything, everyone, we want to make sure, and I know it's Tony's heart as well, that we just dial down on the Word of God, because that is going to be, and that has always been our source of stability and strength. But Tony, from, and I know you, I've watched you today, you've been on the phone with leaders, we had an opportunity to pray, you and I, with Secretary Pompeo today. What's on your heart? What can you say to the body of, where does Tony Perkins generate his strength from, vision, and the rudder? What course is God speaking to you about regarding your compass?
Well, Pastor Jack, these certainly are times that try the souls of men. If we were doing this in our own strength for our own purposes, I think we probably would have packed up and gone home. We can't do this in our own strength. But here's the good news. We're not called to.
Amen.
You know, in Ephesians chapter 6, we're to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. That's how we live the Christian life.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of the things I learned from you in our nearly 20-year relationship is as I've watched Calvary Chapel Chino Hills grow. And I've sought, even in the time that I was pastoring, to emulate what you were doing from a standpoint of, I think this the growth, the impact, the depth of believers in your church is because of the Word of God.
Yeah, it's the Word of God.
Systematically going through start to finish, Genesis to Revelation.
Yeah.
Just working your way through verse by verse, chapter by chapter. And so I adopted that as my approach to ministry. It's what I did when I was pastoring. It's not the way I grew up, but I realized the depth and the spiritual richness that comes from abiding in the Word of God.
Mm.
So I say all that to say this. You know, we, a year ago, began a two-year journey through the Bible at FRC, encouraging our sponsors. We got thousands of people doing this with us. But God's Word is so relevant.
Mm.
And today, we happen to be in Isaiah chapter 50 and 51. And this was Isaiah decades before, centuries, actually, a couple centuries before the captivity in Babylon and the release and the return home by Cyrus, where Cyrus sent them home. We've been reading about that years before. God said, I've given this word to you so you'll know it's true and not give credit to your idols, but you'll know it was me that did it. But coming out of that captivity after being beaten down, and we know they were mistreated. And so they had they were just beaten down. And in verse 7 of chapter 51, he says, listen to me, you who know righteousness, you people in whose heart is my law, do not fear the reproach of men. Do not be afraid of their revilings. And he goes on to say over in verse 12, even I, he who comforts you, who are you that you should be afraid of a man who will die and of a son of man who will be made like grass?
Awesome.
And look where we are right now. This is a challenging time for the church. And I'm just going to have to be honest, Pastor Jack.
Yeah,
it's going to get more challenging.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, listen, not only is that correct what Tony is saying, but church, you guys know, right? And if you just pull back and think for a moment, the 2020 year of COVID and all of that stuff, has that not been a time of preparation for us? We didn't know that. We didn't sign up for it, but that's been the result, right? Listen, you're at church tonight. And some of you were not attending church at all before, but God has been preparing you. And there are those, we've talked about this before, there are those, you know them, there are people who are walking with Jesus, walking with you in your faith, and they've turned away. And then there are those who have been added to the body of Christ, the church, who now are new friends and new co-laborers with us. The point is the church is being tested and shaken. In fact, I think everything's being shaken.
Yeah.
Everything, from politics, the economy, to faith. Around the world, but church family, what Tony just shared about the Word of God, this is what's going on. This is our sure hope and our strength. Before I actually think we should unpack a little bit of what Tony just read out of Isaiah. I want to move to a different portion of Isaiah tonight, and allow me to just share it this way. This is what has been on my mind all day today. It's Isaiah chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord, said Isaiah, sitting on a throne, high and exalted, and the train, or the glory of his robe, filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two wings they covered their feet, and with two wings they did fly. And they called out to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." And at the sound of their voices, the doorpost and the threshold, that is of the temple, was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," Isaiah cried out. "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." And the seraphim said to one another, or I should say the seraphim flew to him with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken from off the altar in tongs. And with it, he touched my mouth and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away from you and your sins atoned for." And then I heard with the voice of the Lord speaking, saying, "Whom shall I send and whom will go for us?" And I said, this is Isaiah speaking, I said, "Here I am, send me." And here's these awesome words to all of us. The Lord said to him, "Go and tell this people." And what I saw today was, I think, a realization to a lot of people who may or may not have the strength of God's word as a foundation. I saw people today struck with the reality. Meaning this, I saw a man, I told you earlier today, I saw a man walking down the street. A man who's well into his 70s, alone, weeping, carrying an American flag. He almost looked prophetic. And I looked at that man's face and it hit me. Oh no, what's going on? What's happening? What does that man think or feel? And the fact of the matter is, on that man's face was almost a symbol of what a nation looks like and feels like when it trusts in like a King Uzziah.
Yeah.
And when the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah said, I saw the Lord. We could say it this way. In the year that King Uzziah died, then I saw the Lord.
Right.
The Hebrew statement implies a timestamp. Something happened that removed a veil from Isaiah's eyes where he could see the Lord. And I believe right now we're living that type of an
experience. Yeah, the context there is really instructive for where we are. Because yeah. Isaiah was not like some of the other prophets that was just kind of coming out from the rural areas. He was connected. And so Uzziah, he was probably a friend of Uzziah. And Uzziah, you know, was actually a really good king.
Great king.
And they had prosperity. Their military did well. I mean, he created all these new instruments of war. He was just
That's
a fantastic
right.
king. Until the end, his heart was lifted up, and he went in to do the work of the priest. And he was struck with leprosy. But this was only about 20 years before, I believe, the northern tribes were carried into captivity.
Yeah.
And so Isaiah saw these trend lines. And his heart was disturbed. And when Uzziah, he thought, this is the last hope for our country.
That's exactly right.
And so where does he go? He goes into the temple.
Yeah.
See, that's the first right thing that he did.
Yeah.
And that's what we should be doing at a moment where we feel like we're, oh, wow, this is happening. This is going to be terrible for the country. We go into the place of God before God.
Amen.
Crying out to God. And then we hear from God.
Yeah, that's awesome. And amen to that. Because, you said it right. Isaiah was not only well-connected, but it appears that he was probably a man of influence. He had access to the king, as you said, probably a friend. That he was able to stroll in and out, as it were. A man that had known because of his Jewish Hebrew prophet life calling that the God of Israel is all powerful. If you would have asked Isaiah, what's your God like? We could read the Bible because he would have agreed with every Jewish theological concept of God. The problem was it appears that a political leader, Uzziah, was in the way because he says, then I saw. And so today, there's a lot of people, like that man symbolized today, weeping. People probably today are sensing or feeling a hopelessness. Wait a minute, church family. The body of Christ, we are to never be hopeless. To be hopeless is to be faithless. The great thing is our faith is not in our government. It's not even in our glorious Constitution. Our faith is in the Lord that gave us such freedoms. Let's be honest. We have enjoyed the benefits and the labors of those who have gone before us. And God's mercy, grace, and kindness has extended to us a good life. But church family, just because things could get ugly, doesn't mean God has abandoned us. We saw ugly tonight. We're seeing ugly.
Yeah.
Still. Right now, here's the weird thing about where we're at right now. If Tony and I walked out of this studio and made a wrong turn down a street, we could walk into some very, very not safe situation right now in our nation's capital.
Right.
That is something, church family, that is shocking to us because we're Americans. A lot of the world has lived like this all their lives. What's happening right now is something that we want to talk to you tonight about is a reality that has not transcended the throne or wisdom of God. His word will guide us through this. Listen, Jesus could come back tonight. We all would say amen to that, right? But we must resist the temptation, church, to pull the sheets up over our head and hide out until what? Oh, until there's a re-election or an election or till somebody runs for all. Oh, no, 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 no. Listen. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. In the year, listen, possible, it's possible that in the year that our republic died, maybe some need to take a good hard look at the Lord because governments will come and go. His throne will never be altered. And our citizenship is in heaven, church. We've got to remember that. But, Tony, getting back to what you were sharing in Isaiah 51, can you just read again the first part of that verse?
Yeah, I want to read, this is chapter 50, verse 7. And again, this is the remnant, being encouraged and exhorted to walk with the Lord, to trust in Him, not to... first, he starts off, listen to me, you who follow after righteousness, you who seek the Lord, look to the rock from which you were hewn. And he goes through and he basically says, I created you.
Yeah.
You're a nation because of me.
And he says, listen to me. Listen to me. So already, in light of, what's the word, the blood's in the water, or that the saying of, you know, somebody tasting or smelling raw meat.
Yeah.
There's an animalistic mentality right now. We watched it regarding CNN.
Yeah.
Already, you guys, CNN is out attacking the Christian worldview and attacking those, mocking those by name, by name. For example, we watched Marco Rubio by name be attacked for his faith. This attack that's taking place, it's going to escalate. We're going to tell you right now, don't be shocked by it. Jesus said, if you love me and follow me, the world's going to hate you. And it's as though evil has been let loose. Listen, you can be encouraged in this manner. We talked about it earlier. The line has been drawn. There's no gray area anymore. And God says, listen to me. Tony, what he just read out of Isaiah 50, verse 7, God's first word to us is listen. You're going to listen to the voices of media, or you're going to listen to Twitter, or you're going to listen to Facebook, or you're going to fill in the blank, and you are going to not do well. God says right here, listen to me. And listen, he says, listen to me, you who love, or you who are stood for righteousness.
Who follow after righteousness.
Who follow after righteousness. See, Pastor Jack, we stood for righteousness. Of course, and we're going to keep standing for righteousness. Well, if we stood for righteousness, why didn't this turn out better? Listen, we stand for righteousness unwaveringly so. But church, let's remember, your sins and mine and Tony's were judged at the cross. National sins have to be dealt with. And we could very well be coping with right now and dealing with God's hand against a nation who has forgotten God. God has been saying to us as a nation, listen to me. Our nation's chosen not to listen. God says, you who love or support or pursue righteousness, you pursued righteousness. We pursued righteousness, but our national leaders have not pursued righteousness in a long time. And so keep that in mind. God has not abandoned us.
Right.
And as a believer, God will never abandon you. As a nation, we owe God quite a bit.
But there's more.
And there's more. And we're going to go through more.
Verse 4. Listen to me, my people, and give ear to me, O my nation, for law will proceed from me, and I will make my justice rest as a light of the peoples. Mm-hmm. My righteousness is near, my salvation has gone forth, and my arms will judge the people.
Yes.
The coastlands will wait upon me. That's the Gentiles.
Well, more specifically, in the Hebrew, it's Chino Hills and Southern California.
That's it.
The coastlands, for crying out loud, of course.
Will wait upon me and upon my arm. That means his salvation. My arm they will trust. Lift up your eyes to the heavens. Listen to this. And look on the earth beneath, for the heavens will vanish away like smoke. The earth will grow old like a garment, and those who dwell in it will die in like manner. But my salvation will be forever, and my righteousness will not be abolished. Listen to me, you who know righteousness, you people in whose heart is my law, do not fear the reproach of men. Do not be afraid of their revilings. In other words, don't pay attention to the cancel culture. Stand for truth and righteousness.
Yeah, did you guys hear that? Do not pay attention to cancel culture and all that they're saying. There's so much of that going on. In fact, right now, just in the matter of hours, it's on steroids right now. All over the social media world and the TV media. Don't let that happen. But you guys, listen, I plead with you. We plead with you tonight. You got to be strong in the Lord. You have got to take strength. Look, I know, we all know that people have been saying, I'm still trusting for a miracle. Well, we're all trusting for a miracle. But what we have to understand something is the out. If we are called to seek the Lord in all things, and we are to pursue Him, and we have done that, and we're doing that. In fact, I think I heard Michelle Bachman last night say that the church did not sit this last election out. Mm-mm. That hit me. She's right. The church voted like it's never voted before. That's fantastic. God, again, we did the right thing. And I believe that God is going to be honoring all those that do the right thing. What we have to be careful about, church family, tonight is that we don't define what the right thing is.
Right.
Let the God of righteousness define in our lives what the right thing is. Because, you know, it's possible. It's possible. I speculate right now. But we just surpassed 1 million signatures for the Gavin Newsom recall. But let's be honest, that may all fall deaf now and silent in the matter of the next few days, because if there is an election here in Washington, that administration will very much favor us, I shouldn't say us, very much favor the California politic as it is today. I mean, it's possible that the recall effort evaporates with a Biden presidency. And Gavin Newsom's greatly encouraged and strengthened. If that were to happen, what is he going to do to the church? What's he going to do to the church at Chino Hills? What's he going to do to your taxes? What's he going to do to your liberty and freedoms? We don't know, but God says, listen to me, I know. And family, we need to remember that. That we cannot get depressed because that means we get faithless. We cannot hide out and wait to the end because that is despondency. God knows exactly what He's doing tonight, church. God knows. And we need to remember that. We need to keep the Word of God close to us now, today, on this January 6th, more than ever in our lives.
Let me read verse 12 again, because it fits in with just what you're saying. Everything can be going the wrong way. But He says, I am He who comforts you.
Amen.
Who are you that you should be afraid of a man who will die?
Yeah.
I don't care if he's a governor. I don't care if he's
That's
president.
Good. Right.
And this of the Son of Man who will be made like grass. Mm. We should not forget the Lord our Maker who stretched out the heavens. I love how Isaiah in all these chapters, when he's talking about what is to come, he talks about what has happened, reminding us that we serve the Creator, the one who stretched out the heavens, who laid the foundations of the earth. Mm. He is the one whom we serve. This is the God pre-existed time. He is outside of time and space. He's not surprised by any of this.
That's right.
And these men who shake their fist at God in the cancel culture, or those who want to redefine human sexuality, or, you know, even ban the use of gender pronouns in the House of Representatives, what's it say? They will fade like grass.
Yes.
Let me just say this one. I say this all the time to my kids, because, and I said it this morning, I did a Facebook post on this. You know, you've probably heard it before. I've heard it many times. Oh, aren't you afraid you're on the wrong side of history because you won't go with the culture and redefining marriage and human sexuality? No, I am not, because I'm standing on the side of the one who wrote history.
Amen.
And God laid the foundation. He created male and female, as Jesus talks about in Matthew chapter 19, referring back to creation. So, no, I'm not afraid, because I'm standing on the foundation of God's Word. But here's the challenge, Pastor Jack. Now, I know I'm preaching to the choir here, but we need to encourage those that we know that are distraught, that are anxious, to be in the Word of God. Because the only way we can stand on the Word of God is to be in the Word of God and meditate upon it. You know, turn the TV off and open up the Word of God. Or put on praise music. And you know, turn off talk radio, except at 5 p.m. Eastern time when I'm on.
Yeah, or 9 p.m. Los Angeles time, Monday through Friday.
Yeah, but other than that, you know, focus on the Word. Listen to exhortation in the Scripture. Look, we need to be feeding our inner man with that which would give them strength.
Church, God tells us in the Psalms that he sent his word among the people. Think of that, how beautiful that sounds. He sent his word among the people. Does America have the Bible? I may be exaggerating right now, but it may not be much of a stretch that every home in America probably has a Bible, or at least you got a device that can take you to the Bible. Okay? I have distributed, sown out, cast the seed, have given you my word. I have sent them my word that it might heal them, deliver them from all of their destructions. That kind of comfort and peace, that's Isaiah 26, Psalms 107, 20, 19 and 20, 21. That section, he's given us what we need. The challenge for all of us, like more than ever, for all of us, is to go to it. We've got to go to it. Get something of it. I in my mind's eye right now, I see the guy, you know, in the quintessential movie moment. Maybe he's in New York or L.A. He's got a tie. It's the morning. He grabs his cup of coffee. He doesn't leave the house. He's got his briefcase or his stuff. He doesn't leave the house without his coffee, and he's got a bagel hanging out of his mouth. He's on the go. He's going to go do something, but he's careful not to leave without some sort of nourishment. And today, far too many Christians, and by the way, this may be harsh, you guys, but I think it's accurate. You cannot leave your home anymore without nourishment, spiritually speaking. You're not going to survive in this environment, this intense, godless environment. You got to.
And there's nothing healthy through in a drive-through.
No.
So,
oh, man.
You got to spend time in the Word. You can't just get in the car and turn on the radio and think that's going to do it.
Listen, that is such a great word that he just said, because this has been on my mind of late. You know how we just embarked upon a new year, and so because of that, we all as a church family embarked upon the daily scripture reading together through the one-year Bible. That's fantastic. You do know that that cannot be your Bible study time. That is your reading. Now, if you invest hours in it to unpack it, because that's a lot of scripture reading for the day, but be careful of this. Don't read through the Bible, because it's about a 15 to 20 minute read if you take your time. Think about it. Don't think, well, I did that. I read my Bible today, so I'm good to go. Watch out, because you could be doing that religiously. Okay, you could be taking like vitamins that are nothing vitamins, but you think, I took my vitamins, I'm good to go. Well, it depends on what's in it. You can read the Bible, but you could read it in a mechanical way, and it's not nourishing you. You're not meditating upon it. It's not getting under your skin. And so you need to be careful to digest the Word of God. What's your prescription in light of today, Pastor Jack and Tony Perkins? What should we do? Digest the Word. Let it be actually part of your DNA fiber.
Savor the Word.
Savor. That's good. Immerse in it. Get like a cloth. Dyed into that. Get it into the wool.
Let me go back Isaiah chapter 48 to speak to something you were saying a moment ago about the power of the word. Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. This is verse 17 of chapter 48. I am the Lord your God. Listen to this. Who teaches you to profit, who leads you in the way by which you should go. Oh, that you had heeded my commandments. Then your peace would have been like a river and your righteousness like the waves of the sea.
He's grieved.
Yeah.
Oh, if you would have.
But that's what is ours.
Yes.
If we will allow him to teach us. And how does he teach us? Through his word.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
That we might profit. Meaning, I read that as making the most of life.
Yeah.
That I'm not talking about a big bank account. I'm talking about making the most out of life, having success in this life. If we allow him to teach us and leads us in the way that we should go, but we have to heed his commandments. And then it's just like, and again, we see here throughout Isaiah interjects creation. You know, he laid the foundation. He created the laws that govern the universe.
Yes.
The sun comes up, it goes down. We can count on it. In fact, we set our clocks by it. We know those things are going to happen. Well, the same is true. He established the moral law that governs the universe. And if we allow him to lead us and we follow in his way, guess what happens? Peace, like a river, comes.
And he speaks that to a people who outwardly were not experiencing peace.
No.
Think of it. This is what I so love about the Bible. And listen, you guys, people of other religions, they've got their holy books, but none of them have got the peace available like you do. None of them have those promises. They've got to go to the Word of God for that if they're going to have promises. And I love the fact that the Lord, He views and presides over all things. I take great comfort in that. Isaiah chapter 46. I didn't expect tonight to be an Isaiah walkthrough. It's turning out that way.
It's a big book.
It is. Isaiah 46. I'm looking at I think it's verse 8.
Yeah, I got it circled.
Do you?
I do.
Remember this. Fix it in mind. I love that. Take it to heart, you rebels. Remember the former things, those of long ago. I am God, there is no other. I am God, there is none like me. I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come. I say, my people will stand, and I will do all that I please. I love the power of God's Word to be kept and for Him to execute His will. And church, we're living history right now today. We're living it. Today's a day of history. And there's a lot going on. But we need to remember, God knows the future before it comes to pass. He knew about today.
I just studied that verse. And in the ESV, it actually says, remember this and take courage.
There you go. Wow.
And verse 8, remember this and take courage. Recall to mind, O you transgressors. Remember the former things of old, for I am the God. I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me. Take courage in that.
Take courage. In fact, this is the way my brain thinks, which is probably not healthy. With what he just said, I am God, take courage in that. That's what he says to us.
Yeah.
So, the other day I was asked by Newsmax about what I thought about the prayer that was offered up. Did you guys see that prayer? By the way, Tony, who offered up that prayer?
That was actually a Methodist minister who was a member of Congress, Emmanuel Cleaver from Missouri. He is a United Methodist minister.
And did you guys?
He closed his prayer. Now, I'll let you take the very end of it, but you go ahead and I'll fill in. It's your story.
Just say, I hope you guys all saw it, or maybe they shouldn't see it. Church family, if you guys think that we should not get involved in the process, that guy's, I'm not even going to call it a prayer. I can't do it. I can't bring myself to to call it a prayer. Whatever that minister did, he offered up to Brahma, to the great name. What did he say? The great.
That was the most disturbing aspect. He says, and we pray this in the name of the monotheistic God, Brahma, and the God that is known by many different names.
That is abomination.
Yes.
That prayer was a sin. Abomination, atrocity, violation of Scripture. So,
but I think also opening the door spiritually.
Listen, we talked about that, or I heard you say that today. Can you tell them? Because I think it's profound. Again, church, listen, before Tony shares this, for those of you who are in the church sanctuary right now, or those of you who are viewing us online. Now, again, I may be preaching to the choir right now when I say, shame on us. Shame on any believer who avoided getting involved in the culture to defend religious freedom. They sat it out I'm not going to taint my life by voting because I could never do that. I'm a Christian. You know what? We should carry shame in this because this thing that was offered up with our new forthcoming government, isn't it interesting? They thought it was important to pray to something.
Well, the Congress opens in prayer, every Congress it has from the beginning. And that's,
since Franklin called for it.
Exactly. And so this was what was significant about this. This is the opening session of the 117th Congress. They met, I can't recall when they've done this again. They met on Sunday. They normally will not meet on Sunday. They will, if the the date falls on a Sunday, they will move it to a Monday.
In because honor of the Judeo-Christian worldview.
Exactly. Because, I mean, that's even in the Constitution where the president can't, you know, when he does a pocket veto, it doesn't count on Sunday. Sundays don't count because Sundays are not work days. I mean, that's even reflected in our Constitution. But so on this opening day of the 117th Congress, on a Sunday, he prays this prayer, which actually, the part of it, he actually quotes some scripture, but then he gets down to the end and prays it in the name. And you know, John chapter 16 says,
yes,
we're instructed, if Jesus says, if you pray in my name, the Father will give you what you request. And it's to pray in the name of Jesus. Now, that's not just adding a tagline on, but it is coming to God under the authority granted to us through Jesus Christ,
yes,
and his work on the cross. And so to close this prayer for the nation in this opening day of the 117th Congress in the name of the monotheistic God, then he goes on to say Brahma, which is one of the head gods, Indian Hindu gods. So it's a polytheistic religion, Hinduism. And then a God who is known by many different names in different faiths. But he said this under, behind him, etched in stone, is the words, in God we trust.
Right over his head.
Not in gods we trust.
Not in gods.
But in God we trust, the Judeo-Christian God, Yahweh. That is the reference there that is on the wall.
The founding fathers would not even allow that offering. I'm just going to call it an offering. I have a hard time calling it a prayer. I know it was a prayer to something that doesn't exist. But when Newsmax asked me what I thought about the prayer, I said, I'm sorry to be so blunt, but the fact of the matter is Jesus said to pray, you're to pray to the Father in his name, and that any other prayer is not heard. I said, quite frankly, no one was listening to that prayer. And that is a theological fact. It's a reality.
But what really grieves me on this, and this is not even the part that the media focused on, that he didn't mention Jesus is the monotheistic God. Didn't mention God, Yahweh. But he mentions Brahma, one of the Hindu gods. Mm-hmm. Now he went on to close that prayer, and what got the most attention? And he said, "Amen," and a woman, which is nonsensical. By the way, this comes at the same time with the same Congress who bans gender pronouns and wants to interject gender into something that isn't even related to gender.
Church family, the word amen in your English Bible is the word in Hebrew to say, let this be so, or let it be true.
Amen, amen, amen in the Hebrew. And so it has nothing to do with gender.
In fact, for someone to think, the thought, oh, I'm going to end this, by the way, I think I'm going to be kind of cool. I'm going to end it by saying a man and a woman.
And you should, okay, you could throw in a moron.
A moron. Oh, anyway, I'm not going to go there. We're in church right now. How can a human, seriously, No one in their right mind ever would have thought of ending their offering with amen and think, I should probably throw in there a woman.
Well,
the wavelength, the mindset was in another whole world of craziness.
But there's this fixation on gender. And again, this was the same Congress that in their rules have adopted new rules that ban the use of gender pronouns and terms like mother, father, sister, and brother.
No more grandmother, no more grandfather.
No.
It's grandparents.
So this is a deconstruction of the family,
yeah,
on top of human sexuality. And so we go back to the Word of God. This, when we see what is happening around us, we cannot help but be grieved in our hearts.
We are. Absolutely.
Because we are seeing our country, as I said, deconstructed, because we're deconstructing Western civilization, which is built on a Judeo-Christian worldview. And with this, our children are going to be... you're unfortunately, California is in the vanguard of this, but our children are going to be taught all this nonsense. Their minds are going to be corrupted. And they're going to be carried away captive. Okay? Even we're in this land, they're being carried away as captives.
Yes.
We should be grieved by that. But our response should be to turn to the Lord, to turn to His Word.
That's why we're doing this tonight, church. That's why, listen, let's be honest. Should I have had one of our pastors on staff teaching tonight? Of course, it makes total sense. That's normally, that would have been the case. Why are we doing this tonight? Because of what exactly Tony just said and what this Bible says, that we need to listen to Him. Any pastor could have said that tonight, but we wanted to just dial down on the intensity that from our nation's capital, it is to me obvious that in a different way God has shown up. I say in a different way. Is it possible that He has shown up now, no longer, as Franklin put it, that benevolent friend? But has He shown up now with His sleeves rolled up as the God that He is that judges nations? You know, listen, He judges nations. He's always judging nations at all times. And for many of us, we don't get it. But today, I saw people of Asian descent. I think predominantly they were Vietnamese walking around, certainly Chinese, because by their signs, they were very passionate about stopping the infiltration of the Chinese government into the Biden administration and into this nation. And they were so passionate, Tony, they were out in the mall today, and they, not one, I saw that older man today, they had red eyes from weeping. They were emotionally upset. Vietnamese. You say, well, what's wrong with them? No. What's wrong with us? We should have been weeping. They escaped captivity. And they recognize that the nation they fled to start a new life, they're going back into captivity. Last night, landing here at Reagan and driving to the hotel, the taxi driver, he had an accent instantly. So I said to him, where are you from? And he said, I'm from Afghanistan. And I said, why are you here in America? You're from Afghanistan. How come not Afghanistan? He said, are you kidding me? He said, I fled Afghanistan. I came here. I said, why? And I quote him, land of opportunity, land of freedom, land to be free and to prosper. And I'm thinking this, and I told the backseat audience in the back of the cab, I said, did you hear what he just said? Did you hear him? That's the message. And listen, many of the immigrants, they recognize what Isaiah is talking about. They, so to speak, had hooks put in their jaws and led to Babylon. They know what it's like. And they came to America. Yes. And I last night I asked Michelle Bachman, I said, hey, if this doesn't go well, where do we go? Where do we go? And she said, listen, there is no Mayflower coming to take us anywhere. There's nowhere to go. And so you can hear that, because you're going to hear it in all the news channels. You know, I got to start praying for Mark Levin, because he was having a, you know, Mark Levin needs the love of Jesus right now, because he sees that it's all over. It's not all over. This is why we're talking to you tonight. It's not all over. God is here. He's doing something. But we don't need to panic. Even in light, Tony, I want to remind you of something that you had brought up in previous conversations yesterday or today. When that offering was made, you said something to me that I'd like you to expound upon. And that is, a door was opened up in the spirit realm when you summons and address other gods.
Yeah, there's actually, when you, there is a connection between the forces behind the Hindu gods and the United States. But when you pray in the name of these deities, it's an invitation for them to come. And so we have seen an open door from our nation's seat of government. So these things are not insignificant. You know, most people will just pass over this, won't see this. But, you know, we have been given the ability to as believers who walk in the Spirit to be able to see. Remember when
Gehazi?
Yeah, when his eyes were, Lord, open his eyes so he can see. And he saw that the host that were surrounding them, more were with them than against them. And I'm not saying I walk around seeing in the spiritual thing, right. But all of us as believers who are Spirit-led understand there is more than this dimension that we see and feel and touch, that we are Spirit beings that are in a tent. We're in a vessel. We're a Spirit, our Spirit man, our Spirit person. I guess I can't say man anymore. Our Spirit being is in this vessel.
You can hold your ground, brother.
So we have to understand that there is a spiritual battle ready. Paul talks about this constantly. We're engaged in a spiritual war. It's not a physical war. We're not. That's what disturbed me about what happened at the Capitol today, is that we're not going to win fighting with our... Now, look, I'm a Marine. I'm a former police officer. I can hold my own. I can. I still can, even at 58 years old. I can still hold my own.
Oh, to be 58 again, I say.
But that's not what we're called to do.
That's right.
We are called to war in the Spirit.
That's right.
And so the weapons of our warfare are spiritual, not carnal. They're for tearing down strongholds. What was happening there was the erection of a stronghold, erecting a stronghold by opening the door in the seat of our government to a false god.
So let's not, I don't want to go too goofy spiritual weirdness. I'm just thinking thoughts here out loud. So we have this week this bizarre offering made to these deities. We just got done telling you that there's only one God, but then we're talking about these other deities. What we mean, church, I think you know. We're talking about what Paul taught us in Corinthians and in other places. We're talking about the demon powers. These deities, plural, are demons. They're not... Zeus isn't real, and Atlas isn't real, and Diana's not real. It's the demon powers in them, in these images, in these things.
And they, through the centuries, have taken on different...
They get to do that.
...identities.
And they will morph with a culture.
Right.
So this offering is made up in a place that has been dedicated to Yahweh God.
Right.
And then we see violence. In fact, even before the violence broke out, we should make something clear. Because if you, don't do it, but if you turn on secular media right now, it's all Trump's fault. It's all the Republicans' fault. It's all these conservatives. Listen, and what we've heard from Cuomo, Chris, he felt the freedom to say it. It's those Christians. Hey, that's where it's really going. Okay, you're going to be blamed for everything. The thing is that the gaslighting, I think that's the term, is going to be, everything that's wrong is going to be projected on you. You're the problem. But the manifestation today, there was people out there today that were smoking pot and drunk at the Trump rally. We saw them. Listen, I didn't see this. Somebody else I was with saw drugs being sold at the rally. Now, that's unique to a Trump rally from what I've been told. Something was up. Last night, I was on my way home and sent you a picture of well, we'll talk off camera later, but they were not out for a picnic last night or a moonlight stroll. What's going on? What's happening? I believe that it is principalities and powers that are over this capital warring in the realm of the Spirit for the control of this nation, the last bastion of hope, freedom, and religious expression right here, right now. Don't get caught up in the politics, church family. No. This is a spiritual war, and it's battling over that capital as we speak.
4 years ago, that battle raged as there was a change. That was, and I was in, you know, I've been here almost 18 years. And that was the most intense spiritual oppression that I felt. I could feel it. It was palpable. And it was the battle. Of course, we had the day that Trump was sworn in. I was there on the Capitol. You seen the? I was standing.
You were right there
behind him.
You were behind him.
And that night, rioting in the city. the burning, looting, and then the next day the women's march. It was profane what took place.
Ugly, profane, violent. What was it? Listen, please understand. The people are people, but unfortunately they were open to the powers. Their lifestyle, their decision-making, their worldview is an open door. What you believe matters.
Yes.
And I believe, without getting too goofy, weird, strange, that those were demonic powers manifesting themselves in violence. And you say, Jack, that's extreme. But really, it's not. Because if you read and believe your Bible, when Elijah was taunting the false prophets of Ashtaroth and Baal at Mount Carmel, they became, because their God didn't come to their rescue with the answers that they wanted, they began to freak out and violently cut themselves.
Right.
They screamed and yelled and went violent. This is something that, where the spirit world crosses over into the physical realm and manifests itself. We just need to be aware of that.
Right. And now, you know, and we put that in context of what
yes.
happened today. I do not believe it was appropriate. In fact, I've denounced what took place. I don't know who did it, but I do know that there was a Trump rally here in our Capitol, and, you know, they're saying it was the Trump people. I don't know. I wasn't there, didn't see it. But whoever did it, it was wrong. We still, and this is what I want people to hear, that despite the darkness that we see descending upon this country, we still have the ability. And look, I understand there were irregularities in this election. I understand there were things done to manipulate the outcome, and we have to address them. But we have to do this within the context of the tools of the law that we have given. We don't fight lawlessness with lawlessness.
That's right.
In fact, the scripture makes very clear that we contend with the lawless by abiding by the law, spiritually speaking. And the same is true. Now, someone say, wait a minute. What about when the government tells you to do something that's unlawful or something that goes contrary to scripture? That's different. I'm not talking about that.
That's completely different.
I'm talking about us taking up and using violent means. We are not there as a nation. We don't have to be there. We can use the tools that we've been given. Number one, we need to pray. Number two, we need to be involved. We can't take a shortcut because we've been lazy and negligent. It is our responsibility as Christian citizens.
So what do we do? What do we do with our families? What do we do with our faith? What do we do with church? What do we do with our Christianity? Will you please believe me when I tell you that there's the one side of me, the historian side, the patriotic side, I grew up in a Marine Corps home side, native-born Californian side, love red, white, and blue, understand the history of this nation, love reading the founding of this country. Am I grieved tonight? Is there a pit in my stomach over that? Absolutely. Do I feel like our republic has received a horrible wound? Absolutely. And I'm going to work through that. But you know how I'm going to work through that? With this side, meaning my eyes are on Jesus. This is the ultimate authority. The word of God stands sure. And his will is settled in heaven. This part, this spiritual life, this man will work out this side over here. And I am going to come to a conclusion. But the beautiful thing about following the Lord is what you said earlier. The great thing about being biblically accurate is, let's be honest, you obey the Bible, you're never going to be wrong. Does that mean, do we make mistakes?
Might not be popular, but you won't be wrong.
Oh, exactly. That's where I'm going. We may make mistakes. Just know this. We get our eyes off of Jesus, we make mistakes. We obey the word of God, we will always be right. Like he said, it won't be popular. Jesus said, you're going to follow me, you're going to have enemies. And many of you just come through some heartbreaking holidays where the family has cut you off and ostracized you because you go to this church you're sitting in. Wow, really? If that's the excuse they're using to cut you out of their lives, I don't think it's because you go to this church. I think it's because they can't stand the Jesus they see in you is the issue. Don't compromise. Don't cave in. Don't sell out on your faith because you're going to make amends with your neighbors or your family. No, their issue is spiritual. Your foundation is spiritual. They don't have what you have, and it bothers them. So stand strong. Don't give up. God's word is true and will get you through. This is the hour of decision. That's why tonight we wanted to speak to you, to your heart, is because you must not give up. What's happening here in D.C. in America is not greater than what we've seen recorded in Scripture. There was no hope for Jehoshaphat. There was no hope for Hezekiah. There was no hope for David. There was no hope for Joshua. And yet you and I love reading the Word of God because we love these incredible moments of deliverance. God will never abandon us. And He may not abandon America if America turns to Him. But as for you and I and us here, we're going to stay walking with Jesus. And you need to make sure that you make that resolute determination regarding your life tonight. Don't let the media decide it for you. Tony, can you speak? I'll wrap up with a time of prayer real quick. But Tony, will you speak to the body tonight? Will you speak to them what is on your heart?
I think I've shared pretty much what is on my heart. I would just say, you know, to kind of wrap this up, is, you know, you had made some reference to this earlier about being disturbed. And, you know, I'm sometimes asked, you know, Tony, what keeps you up at night? You know, as I sit here in our nation's capital and I see what is unfolding before us, usually the only thing that keeps me up is caffeine. Mm-hmm. But I avoid that. You know, but I would say if there's one thing that troubles me, it's the lack of courage in the people of God. To the courage to stand for what we know to be true and to stand upon the Word of God. And so I would go back to what you read in Isaiah chapter 46, verse 8. Remember this and take courage. That we are on the right side of history. God is the God of our comfort. He created us. He created the universe in which we dwell. And He is not untouched by what we are facing. If we'll just turn to Him, trust in Him, and walk with Him. And so, look, I'm not going to candy coat it. These are going to be difficult times. The next 2 years, from a standpoint of religious freedom, the sanctity of human life, all the things that we work on and focus on and believe in as believers are going to be attacked.
Yeah.
And now there's open season, as you made reference to in the media, to marginalize, all with the purpose of trying to silence us, to intimidate us so we'll step back and be silent. If we do that, it's disobedience to God. You can't fear man and trust God. If you're going to have faith in God, you cannot fear man. The two cancel each other out. Faith and fear cancel each other out. And so either you're going to have faith in God and you're going to revere Him and you're going to walk in obedience with Him, free from the fear of man and the events of this world. Not meaning we're not touched by these things. You know, my heart, you know, I'm often wounded by things that are said and frustrated by those things. But I will never be silent because I'm afraid of man. But I will be ready to speak the words of God as He gives me the opportunity out of reverence for Him. Mm-hmm. As Timothy was instructed by Paul in his very last letter to Timothy, to be ready in season and out of season. To proclaim that word.
To always speak the truth in love, church. And Jesus said in John 17, His high priestly prayer, it's known in theology. John 17, when He poured out His heart to His Father, He said, Father, the time has come. Glorify Your Son, that Your Son may glorify You. For You have granted Him authority over all people.
All.
Wow. That He might give eternal life to all those who You have given Him. And so, my dear friends, tonight, Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior. He's the one who died on the cross for your sins and mine. He's the one who rose again from the dead to justify you eternally. Think of it. He died for your sins. He paid the price. But that wasn't enough. He paid the price with his own blood. That is enough to stop and remove sin. But he rose again from the dead to justify you, to take the expense that he purchased and then apply it to your account to give you a life to be lived. This is what's so incredibly powerful about the fact that Jesus died and rose again for me demands that with every bit of your breathing breath, the beating of your heart, you devote yourself to the will of God. You will never regret it. You will forever be useful to God, and you will finally find your purpose in life. Your answers or the questions you have will be answered by him to you. He will fulfill you. And so how do we survive these days? We're not going to survive these days. We are going to be more than conquerors because of him who is in us. And you can have that too by literally turning to the Lord tonight. You can say to him, Jesus Christ, I want that peace. I want that assurance. I want to know that. And so please, wherever you're at right now, not only to the family there in the sanctuary, but beyond, will you pray with me right now? Father, we just ask you now tonight, Father God, and we know that there are those watching our broadcast this evening that are in other time zones. It's already Thursday there for a lot of our viewers. We pray, Father, right now that your spirit would descend upon your true church in America and beyond. God, that you would just cause there to be a great presence of your spirit felt, discerned by your people. And Lord, to all who are hearing now, that you might hear this prayer. And friend, whoever you may be, wherever you may be, will you pray right now together with me? Just let it fall from your lips. Dear Lord Jesus, I give you my troubled life. I give you my fear. I give you my sins because I believe you. I throw off fear and I put my faith in Christ Jesus now, who gave me salvation by going to the cross and being resurrected from the dead, that by me accepting that gift, I can have eternal life now in Jesus' name. Friends, listen, if you've prayed that prayer tonight, please let us know. If you're there in the sanctuary, the pastors and elders will be available to pray with you, give you a Bible tonight. But listen, let this be a night of history as it is. It will go down in the books of history. Make sure your name goes down and is there in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's the history that will matter forever. So listen, we'll see you guys Sunday. I'll be heading home straight thing in the morning. God bless you guys. Stand strong. Be praying. And above all things, be looking up, for your redemption draws near. We'll see you Sunday morning. God bless you guys.